You're tuned into KPFA. I'm Tara Darabji. You're listening to Kashmir Speaks on KPFA, reporting on the most densely militarized land on Earth. Tonight, we look at censorship of social media in Kashmir. We'll be joined by Mohammad Janad, a Kashmiri anthropologist living in New York, to look at how the nonviolent independence movement in Kashmir uses social media to organize. First, though, we're joined in the studio by Naima Shalhoub, an Oakland-based soul singer who wrote a song dedicated to the people of Kashmir. We'll be right back after a short music break. That was the voice of Naima Shalhoub. She's an Oakland-based singer and songwriter. Welcome to KPFA, Naima.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for joining us. Naima, you wrote a song dedicated to the people of Kashmir, and it went viral on YouTube. Tell us about that song and why you composed it.
Yeah, thank you. I was actually... got my master's at studying with Angana Chatterjee several years ago, and I was on the road to getting my PhD at the time, decided not to, but I was taking a class in December of 2009, and it was about Kashmir and actually Angana Chatterjee's work. And at that time, I think it was after December 2nd, a report was published by the International People's Tribunal in Kashmir, and the report was about the mass graves that were found, I think over 2,700 mass graves, unmarked, unidentified graves. And during that class and just hearing Dr. Chatterjee's stories, I was just became haunted and thinking about the families, thinking about this militarized place. And as you said, the largest one currently on Earth, and how I really hadn't heard much about it. And so this class really impacted me and my spirit in very deep ways. And I actually woke up one morning at 4 a.m. with this tune in my head. And before I kind of figured out what it was about, I got up, grabbed a piece of paper, and started writing down what I was hearing in my head. And it was these words from the song.
And, you know, why was it that the struggle of the people in Kashmir really resonated with you?
Primarily, well, I'm Arab American. I'm first generation Lebanese here. And I think in general, just thinking about militarized zones, occupations, all of that just is... a daily part of what I think about and what impacts me, and especially what's going on in Palestine. And so to hear about Kashmir in a place that I hadn't really heard of, and I was shocked, and just started thinking about how I could build alliances with people in Kashmir. And at that time and continuing now, I'm focusing on music, and so wanted to write a song to kind of just give voice to what I had learned about, and a space for people to learn about what was going on.
Well, Naima, will you play your song for us?
I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen, yeah, yeah. listen, listen, listen. Can you hear the distant song? It's a people singing the dead to sleep. Listen, can you hear the distant song? It's a people singing the dead to sleep. I said, listen, can you hear the people sing? It's a people singing the dead to sleep. I said, listen, can you hear the people sing? It's a people singing the dead to sleep. One more grave unmarked, one more lullaby for the ghost, 'cause the dead don't sleep till the story's heard. One more grave unmarked, one more lullaby for the ghost, 'cause the dead don't sleep till their story's heard. Some stories, yeah, and we've got to listen to their sorrows, saying we want justice as listen, can you hear the distant song?
That was the voice of Naima Shalhoub, a beautiful, haunting song. The dead don't sleep until their story is heard. Beautiful. And can you tell our listeners a little bit about how the song was received in terms of response from Kashmiris once you put up a video on YouTube?
Yeah, and I should say first it was my professor, Angana Chatterjee's, it was her idea for me. I actually played the song at her house at a gathering, and I was honored to receive her. She was moved, and my fellow classmates were moved in the room, and it was a really special moment for me, and she actually gave me the idea to put together a small video just kind of explaining the context of why I wrote the song and mentioning the KashmirProcess.org website, especially for me, you know, wanting to point people toward a place where they could get more engaged with the work that she was doing. And so I did that, and I was not expecting the comments and all the messages of support I actually received from a lot of Kashmiris, and still to this day I get messages just saying, you know, thank you for putting this song out. Even one time someone wanted me to come to Kashmir and that invitation, but really
one day you'll have to go.
I would love to, I would love to, but, and a lot of the comments, you know, it's very charged, and rightly so, given just the everyday violences that Kashmiris are experiencing. And so a lot of the comments are very charged, a lot of kind of hateful comments toward me. But, I mean, it's not really about me. I, like I said, the song really came through me, and I was haunted by what was going on. So, yeah, it's interesting if you have a moment to check the comments. It's pretty intense.
And how many hits did you get just from the song?
Almost 14,000. Wow. It's coming close to 14,000. Yeah,
huge.
So,
And the song was inspired by all those mass graves and all the dead, all the people.
Yeah, yeah, and I was just the stories I was hearing in the class I was taking, and just started thinking of our not only our ancestry and how we've come here, especially again for someone who's first generation Arab American, but given these mass graves, you know, who are these people? Who are the families? And just thinking about how those mass graves in the earth must just be completely filled with stories and with souls that have not been able to rest because and won't until Azadi is present and until the people of Kashmir truly feel that that is present in their everyday lives.
And if people want to learn more about your music and what you're doing, how can they reach out to you?
I have a website. It's naimashalhoub.com. I would love it if you, you're welcome to come and check out my site and what I'm doing. And also, the YouTube video, you can find on YouTube, and, the website in which posts the report on the mass graves is kashmirprocess.org.
And in our last minute, can you just talk about, I mean, what's so powerful is your song, you know, Reach Me, We Found Each Other Through Music, mm-hmm. you know, it's you sang that song, I was like, oh, I need to talk to her. Mm. But just in terms of resistance, nonviolent people's movements, and I know that you yourself have done a lot of work around social justice, why is music your channel?
You know, I'm really inspired by what Mercedes Sosa said in 2008 before she passed. And she said, music may not change the direct state of things, but it can inspire people to move. And that's really what I hope to do through music. And I know for me, it motivates me. It allows me to not feel isolated and alienated. And it does provide a space for us to connect with each other and to allow our voices to be heard in a way that can really penetrate our spirit and kind of through our conditioning and social conditioning. And that's why I do it every day and hope that it makes an impact.
Well, thank you. It's definitely impacted me. I appreciate your songs and your message. And
thank you.
What you're holding in your voice that's coming out for
thank
all
you.
Of us over these radio waves. Mm,
thank you so much, Tara. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. That's the voice of Naima Shalhoub. She's an Oakland-based singer and songwriter. I'm Tara Darabji for KPFA.
It's the people singing not dead to sleep. I said, listen. Can you hear the people sing? It's the people singing the dead to sleep. One more grave unmarked, one more lullaby for the ghost, cause the dead don't sleep till the story's heard. One more grave unmarked, one more lullaby for the ghost, cause the dead don't sleep till their story's heard. And the ghosts, they're here. Some stories, yeah.
I'm Tara Darabji. Tonight we are joined on the line by Mohammed Janad, a Kashmiri anthropologist based in New York. Tonight we're discussing the use of social media in the Kashmiri struggle for independence. Kashmir is the most densely militarized land on earth. Janad, welcome to KPFA.
Thank you, Tara.
Janad, most recently in the beginning of October, there were numerous reports that Facebook and other social media sites were being blocked by the Indian authorities in Kashmir. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of the use of social media in the struggle for independence in Kashmir?
Well, in general, internet services have been blocked on and off in Kashmir since it began in India. And in fact, internet services in Kashmir began 7 years after it began in mainland India. And for a number of years, SMSs on phones and even cell phones were banned. So
for several years in Kashmir, people couldn't send, like, text messages? Is this what you're saying? They were banned?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, even the cell phones were banned. Only landlines, some landlines were available. And then cell phones came, and that's, like, several years after it came to, you know, other parts of India. But recently, as the internet has expanded, you know, social media has become an active site where people who have no other way of expressing their political opinions or, you know, because of extensive security crackdowns and sealing off of public spaces and, you know, arrests and torture and all those other things that are happening in Kashmir right now. People use these sites, you know, Facebook and Twitter as places where they can express their opinion. But the government has begun to see since 2008 how social media can be used actively to mobilize, you know, people. And especially in 2010, when mass protests broke out in Kashmir, Kashmiris were using Facebook to interact with each other to you know, to tell the everyday life stories about what was happening during that time, because for several months Kashmir was under curfew.
Can you give our listeners the breadth of how big? I mean, you're talking millions of people were marching daily. You know, in terms of just the quantities of the protests, how long they were lasting, numbers of days of curfew, that type of thing.
Yeah, well, the actual protest began in 2008 when really millions of people were out on the streets for a month almost. You know, there were like four big rallies that took place. But the government during that time was, they did not realize how the cell phones and SMSs and social media was facilitating some of this mobilization. So, but within a month's time, cell phones and SMSs and social media was taken off air. And extensive crackdowns took place. Then in 2010, again, people began to mobilize as social media and, you know, cell phones became, I mean, they were allowed to some extent. And but since then, SMS was banned for several months. And more interestingly, while Kashmir for some time enjoyed 3G services, the government decided to restrict 3G services only to a few specific centers and, you know, turn the rest of the Kashmir, mostly rural areas, to 2G services, which is kind of dysfunctional now there. So it does not work even on your tiny cell phones.
And, you know, I actually read a couple of reports that during the summer uprisings of 2010, which were, you know, nonviolent, community-based, people coming, demanding independence for Kashmir, just really locking down, shutting down the cities and strikes, that a lot of Kashmiris were using Facebook and other means of social media just to see what the daily body count was in terms of civilians being killed and wounded by the Indian Army.
Yeah, and one instance was particularly, important in that. For instance, in the southern city of Islamabad, also called Anantnag, there were like three young boys who were shot dead by security forces. And within a few minutes of that, somebody took a picture, you know, video of that, and it circulated widely across Kashmir and, you know, among the diaspora Kashmiri population, and drew intense, you know, protest from all walks of life in Kashmir. I mean, incidents like that, for instance, used to be kind of a daily bread and butter in Kashmir in the 90s, but such, you know, simultaneous coverage of these events did not take place. So much of that, kind of human rights violations were not recorded or did not become part of, you know, the political opinion of the people concurrently. But this event did. And so several other instances in Srinagar of such, you know, security forces shooting down people were immediately uploaded on YouTube and Internet. And then the government began to realize that such videos were circulating. So they banned YouTube, for instance, in Kashmir, and people could not upload anything. And then they started also arresting people who were active on Facebook. Several people were arrested, many were threatened, and during that time.
We're talking with Janad. He's a Kashmiri anthropologist based in New York. And, you know, I really want to get a little more into the conversation about how the Indian authorities target students using Facebook. But first, we're going to take a short music break. We'll be right back.
Take it in blood. Take it in blood. I said take it in blood. Take it in blood. Take it in blood. Take it in blood. Take it in blood, I said take it in blood, yeah, let's go. On like a clock, but a never ending pain won't stop. I stand in rain and feel no drop. I feel my legs that fail to walk. All you have to do is talk. I'm just a man and not a rock. I close my eyes, it's time to knock. Take my breath and take my spot. She hawks me like that son she lost in the course of a holocaust. I swear to God, I tell no lies. Even tears that died in her eyes makes me wonder what it takes to love when you're seeing so much hate. To be so strong when you've been so down. For a mother who lost her crown, 9 months in the womb he stayed, twisted and turned while she prayed. 16 years of a blissful game, till that night a monster came. Held a gun and grabbed a knife, took the kid from the lap of life. She holds his picture, takes a sigh. Why every human has to lie. Now put some fear in your heart if you can't hear her calls. If you're there in your prison, you should tear down the walls. Meet a man, you tell him this. There's a woman in the mist who sleeps in tears and makes a wish if there's a grave that she could kiss. That I can't code, feels like a razor in my throat. Ask some questions, don't be shy. I hold my tears and testify to her struggle when it shows. Justice was not found in courts. Her picture's enough to justify her struggle. Will never die. I cross my heart and take a vow to make her pain my own somehow. To let her know she has a son who sees and hears and has her tongue. So never think that you're alone. It's your crown and it's your throne. You fought for every seed unborn. Stood your ground in a raging storm. Materialistic people came, gave a speech and made their name. But her will took birth from a tear. Courage, patience, persevere. Fight till death and never fear. 20 years she made it clear. Once every month in a park she tells her story from the start. And her heart is left to bleed. 1 million people in the streets who pay no heed to her cries, who move along and live their lives. Will you stop and tell her this? You're my mother in the mist who sleeps in tears and makes a wish if there's a son that she could kiss.
You're tuned in to KPFA. I'm Tara Darabji reporting on the most densely militarized land on earth, Kashmir. We're joined on the line by Janad. He's a Kashmiri anthropologist based in New York. And tonight we're talking about the role of social media in organizing nonviolent social movements in Kashmir for the independence, as well as how the Indian authority blocks social media, including Facebook and YouTube. And Janad, you know, right before we went and took a music break, you were talking about how young people who use Facebook are often targeted by the authorities. Can you talk about some of the recent cases and also the history of students who use Facebook, maybe posting freedom slogans or that type of thing, how they have been targeted by the Indian authorities?
Well, in 2010, late 2010, several, Kashmir University students were issued notices by police, by the state police, that they were being watched and their activities on Facebook and Twitter were being closely monitored. I mean, even the threat of this nature can be, paralyzing for a person who lives in Kashmir and knows what such threats can possibly mean for people. And after that, there was a Facebook group, it's called Allah, and which has like thousands of Kashmiri, members, and a group dedicated to, spreading the message about Kashmir and telling the world about what is happening there and whatnot, and seeking solidarity and whatnot. They were banned. I mean, and their subsequent chapters were banned. And I guess right now there is all of 19 version, which means like 18 previous versions have been banned and taken off air by the government. There are several other, places like Kashmir Solidarity Network, where people have been interacting and talking about what is happening in Kashmir. And many of their organizers are continuously being watched and monitored. And in Kashmir, several people were arrested, and many of much of that those details are not clear. Because many times what the security forces do is they arrest people and tell them that they were involved in stone pelting incidents, when in reality those people are arrested for being active on social media or, on Twitter.
And Janad, another thing that's really taken off, particularly in the summer of 2010, was hip-hop resistance music. I know MC Cash released a single then, and it really went viral. Can you talk a little bit about how he and other musicians, young hip-hop artists, are being targeted by the Indian authorities for the music, for their hip-hop, for their rhymes of resistance?
MC Cash is particularly significant in it because his music captures the essence of what is going on, what went on in 2008 and 2010. And he is particularly young and connects with the new generation of Kashmiris who are trying to seek global kind of audience for what they are trying to, fight for. And because MC Cash uses English lyrics and draws particularly from, the rich, African-American tradition of hip-hop music here in the U.S., he has particularly resonated well in Kashmir because this music is mostly based in, anti-racist struggles and against oppression. And so MC Cash is particularly significant, but there are many other people who are engaged in this kind of cultural production. And I see this cultural production as a form of resistance as well. And their music has become viral because of, things like YouTube and whatnot. But aside from that, I think that I visited one event in Srinagar where the people who had organized an event who had called several musicians and artists, but MC Cash stood out among the young people, and I could see that he was resonating with them, while the others were talking about other themes, and not particularly connected with resistance in Kashmir. It was MC Cash's work which was resonating there.
And I know he's been targeted for that work. I heard that after, his song went viral on the internet, the Indian authorities actually raided the sound studio he recorded in. The doors closed to him after that. He couldn't record there. And I know that there's some other DJs. One song I picked up when I was in Kashmir was by DJ Renegade. I really enjoyed it. But, I heard that he actually pulled it off of the internet for fear of retaliation against him and his family just for producing this music. So is, you know, can you talk a little bit about that, the sense of censorship and fear that really resides in the psyche of the Kashmiri people?
Well, I think, you know, most of our famous poets and, you know, literary figures have been silenced over the years because of threat of persecution. But, I mean, if you read Kashmiri poetry, much of it deals with resistance and against military occupation in a very oblique manner, you know, not directly talking about things, using metaphors and similes to talk about the oppression. Because much of what they produce cannot escape the experiences of occupation itself. And the reality is that while Kashmiris have been trying to figure out these alternative ways of expressing themselves, alternative ways of finding, you know, resisting, Indian authorities wake up to these things only later because they do not immediately understand what's going on, you know. And but once they become aware of it, there's a blanket ban on everything. So while India itself is like engaged in producing its own form, kind of state literature, state poetry, state organized conferences where select poets who are loyal to the occupation are invited, many of our younger people, many of the people who are actually very popular in Kashmir and whose work is resonant of what is happening, are disfavored or threatened or, you know, socially marginalized by the state.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us on KPFA. In our last few minutes, Janad, will you let our listeners know different ways that they can stay involved and follow the struggles that are happening in Kashmir?
Well, I think that first and foremost, it's important to understand the history of Kashmir. I would seriously recommend works by, you know, Mridu Rai. Her book is called Hindu Rulers, Muslim Subjects. Then there is a recent collection of fiction and nonfiction works by Kashmiris in a book titled, you know, Until My Freedom Has Come, The New Intifada in Kashmir. It's edited by Sanjay Kak and is already published in India, but is now coming to the U.S. in the form of market publication.
Isn't it being released this month,
yeah.
November? Yes.
Yeah, the earlier version was published in India by Penguin, but Haymarket Books is taking out a new version. Not a new version, but it's U.S. publication in November. And then there are newspapers like Kashmir Reader is an important new way to keep in touch. Then Kashmir Dispatch and others. But also on Facebook, I think Kashmir Solidarity Network is a place where young Kashmiris, men and women, are often discussing Kashmir, and it's a good way to keep in touch about what is happening in Kashmir.
Great. Well, Janad, thank you so much for joining us on KPFA.
Thank you so much, Tara. Bye.
You're tuned into KPFA. I'm Tara Darabji. Kashmir Speaks on KPFA's La Onda Bajita, coming at you the second Friday of every month. Want to say thanks to Miguel Gavilan Molina, Mr. Chuch, Pedro Reyes, La Brava, and the whole La Onda team for keeping the resistencia alive across indigenous lands around the world. Archives from tonight's show and all of Kashmir Speaks segments can be found on darabji.com.